Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. Today and next week, we have a two-part series on Will You Help Us Reach the Lost for Christ? You know, my hope is that you have a zeal and a burden to reach the lost people in your life, like your son or your husband or your granddaughter or the guy next door. But do you have a zeal that people overseas in certain countries where they never hear the gospel? Is there a desire for in your heart for those people to come to Christ? That's what this week and next week is all about. So I brought in an expert, a missionary, to talk about developing a zeal for world missions. And Tom Steller is his name. Hi, Tom.
Good to see you.
I have known Tom since college. We went to college together. And I went on to become a Lutheran pastor. And Tom went on to become a Baptist pastor. And Tom has been a pastor for 40 years, but 2 years ago?
Correct.
God moved him out of his Minneapolis church. Now he's serving overseas. And so we're going to talk about all of these things. So this week and next week, pray that many people might even become missionaries from watching this, or that you'll become involved in some way. But before we get to the interview, Tom, I always like to ask our guests first, how did you come to know Christ?
Yeah, I grew up in a very religious home. And did all the right things, was an altar boy, and took it pretty seriously until my teenage years. And it's right during the hippie movement, and I was a hippie wannabe, and so I kind of drifted into drugs and alcohol. But my sister had become a Christian, and she told me the gospel. And by God's grace, after listening to her for a little while, God opened my heart to embrace Jesus Christ. And I can honestly say that I've never been the same.
There you go.
And the gospel
Good.
Is beautiful.
Wonderful. There you go. So now you have left your Baptist church of 40 years. Now you're doing an overseas ministry in
Cameroon,
which is in Africa. I know that
Correct.
Much.
Yes.
I brought my globe because
okay.
I didn't look. I don't even know where. Would you point to us? Where is Cameroon? In Africa.
Okay.
Where is it?
Well, you find Africa right here.
That I can do.
This big place right here, and Cameroon is right here
in the
central part of Africa, on the west coast.
Oh, it is on the coast.
Yeah.
All right. And so now you feel a call from the Lord to go serve the Lord in Cameroon. Mm-hmm. I mean, you come home, but then you go back and tell us, Cameroon, Muslim, Christian, Hindu. What is it over there?
Yeah, Cameroon is a very complex country. 291 language groups in Cameroon. It's the most complex country in Africa, and the gospel has penetrated broadly. So there are many Christians, at least professing Christians, but there are also lots of Muslims. And like in the city, the capital city where I'm working, Yaoundé, there's a 200,000 Fulani Muslims living right in the center of the city. And so it's Muslim and Christian. The northern part is more Muslim. And so
is there persecution going on?
There's persecution up there. Boko Haram is one of the groups that terrorize people. And so there's persecution up there and sometimes on the Nigeria border.
I've heard it said, do you, what's your experience, that Muslims can be the hardest people to convert?
I think they are so convinced that they're right and believe in the absolute authority of the Quran and that God is one and the Christian God is just a contradiction.
Yeah, they think we believe in three gods.
That's right.
Which we don't.
That's right.
Right.
Yep, and so it's very, very difficult.
Do you see Muslims converting?
Yeah, there are. In fact, just this morning I was on a Zoom call with a Fulani young man who who has totally embraced Christ and is now an engineer.
Wonderful. So God can do it.
Yeah.
What led you, Tom, to leave your Baptist ministry for this overseas ministry? Not that you're not still a Baptist. We're praying for your conversion to Lutheranism.
You've been praying for that for a long time.
Too long. Okay.
Yeah, it was just as I approached my 40th year at Bethlehem, and I just knew that missions had been on my heart for decades, and been involved in different ways, more as a sender and an equipper. But I just sensed that God wanted me to become more intentionally involved in my twilight years. I didn't view it as a retirement. I viewed it as a next chapter. And I had a long passion for Cameroon, as well as many other places, but Cameroon had just kind of stood out. And so, plus, I had a student in our church school that was from Cameroon, and he was a very inspirational young man to my life. I watched him prepare to go back to Cameroon, and we began dreaming together, and I said, since that's God saying, I'm going to somehow work with him.
So what do you do when you go to Cameroon? What exactly do you do to be a missionary there? Everybody's different, but what's your job?
Yeah, my job is primarily teaching. We're starting a church-based seminary there in Cameroon, and it's in its third year now. And I go and I teach courses. So I go about five times a year to Cameroon for 3 weeks at a time, and I usually go at the beginning and end of each semester. Mm-hmm. And it's two semesters, so that's four trips, and then a midsummer course. And so my primary work is teaching.
What do you teach?
I teach Greek exegesis.
I remember. You were so much better at Greek than I was. Okay.
And I teach missions, and I teach leadership, and
the gospel spreading in Cameroon?
I mean, the gospel has spread broadly, but unfortunately, there's a lack of theological training and preparation
so
of pastors.
Deep.
So they say sometimes it's a mile wide and an inch deep.
And that's why you're going, is to make it deep.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Are there cults over there? I'm not talking Muslims or Buddhists or.
Yeah.
But are there like Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, that kind of stuff?
Yep. Jehovah's Witnesses have their presence in Cameroon, and Mormons have a presence in Cameroon, and then there's a lot of kind of Christian groups that have veered so far from the gospel that.
Is there the prosperity gospel over there?
Prosperity gospel is probably the most powerful influence.
Just so people know, we don't like the prosperity gospel that teaches if you come to Jesus, you're going to get rich. We don't like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those people are pretty poor, aren't they?
Yeah, it's very disillusioning to people.
Yeah. Tom, how did, maybe somebody's watching this show and they're wondering, is the Lord calling me to be a missionary? Or at least to somehow be involved in missions. So let's talk the first person. How do you know if God's calling you to be a missionary? How would you discern that?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you'd hear many different testimonies from missionaries. But I think, like for me, it was just this ongoing passion for the nations. I mean, the gospel was so precious to me, is so precious to me. My life was changed so much, it made me want to share the gospel with neighbors and so forth. But then also, you just realize that there are places in the world where there's so little gospel presentation.
Yeah.
And I just had a desire to help do what I could to advance the gospel in places where it's not as prominent.
So you pray and you ask for guidance and wisdom, and then you wait and see what happens.
Yep. But you also talk to people. I mean, I think sometimes people can sense a call and no one else senses it. You know, they wouldn't necessarily encourage you. So I talk to different groups of intimate friends. I talk, of course, to my wife and my family and my church, my elders. And
they confirmed it.
They confirmed it.
Okay.
And so
you not only pray about it, you then start bouncing it off of others. What do you think?
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, the great majority of people watching this mm-hmm. will not become overseas right. missionaries. But if they want to somehow be involved in spreading the gospel worldwide, what can a person who's bedridden do? Or what can a person who's got a full-time job and six kids yeah. do? You know, what can every Christian do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the answer you'd probably expect is prayer.
Yes.
And I sometimes wonder if when all is said and done and we're in glory and look down in our life and we'll see that maybe the most fruitful period of my life is my bedridden years because I'm praying
Amen.
More. And so prayer, of course, is huge.
Yep.
And I think families can get involved in all kinds of ways. Like at Bethlehem, we encourage the children of our families to be aware of the children in the missionary families and to send
support
things to them and encourage them when they come home on furlough and home assignment that they get to know them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, couples that are earning a living and to help them to have a priority of supporting the work.
Giving to missions.
Yeah.
And I want to say as a pastor, if your church doesn't have a mission board and you don't have a missions that you support that are outside of your... I mean, it's great to support local missions in your city, wherever you're at, but do you support anything overseas? And I would encourage you, if you're a leader in the church, pray about getting a little mission group that'll start supporting missions.
Yeah, and maybe one more thing to add is that you don't have to cross salt water to be involved in cross-cultural ministry. I mean, God is globalizing the world, and just about all the cities have just a big representation of people groups from all around the nation. Many unreached people groups come into the city, and so just look across the street.
The world has changed drastically since you and I were in college.
That's right.
And Tom, when I go to the Minneapolis airport and I take an Uber drive, over 50% of the time, the taxi driver is a Muslim from Somalia.
That's right.
So I have my gospel tract to give him a little tip, and I give him the salvation message. And so, yeah, you don't have to go overseas anymore to witness to Muslims.
And you probably didn't know this, but I'm not an Uber driver. I'm a Lyft driver.
You are?
In part-time, yep. And just once in a while, just because for me it's the best way to get to know the city and to have all kinds of... I've got over 10,000 people that have come into my cars.
You have?
Yes. And from every people group imaginable.
Have you witnessed any of them?
Absolutely.
How do you do it?
The door's open.
You know, somebody watching this is going to, okay, what do I say? All right, what do you say?
I just start inquiring about them, and I might, like, lately I've said, you know, I just got back from Africa on Friday, and that kind of sparks their interest, and they might ask a question, and then I can tell them a little bit about my story, and sometimes it leads into real gospel presentations. I've had people praying in my car, weeping in my car.
Wonderful, Tom.
Yep. So it's a wonderful ministry opportunity.
And let's just review for people.
Yeah.
Whether you're a missionary or here or overseas, simply put, in a nutshell, what's the gospel message you share with someone so they can know Christ? What do you say?
Yeah, I just say that God has put a God-shaped hole in our heart that we have a desire factory for happiness, but there's a barrier. We look for happiness in all the wrong places, and really we're made for God, and yet there's a barrier between us and God, and we need to realize that He has erased that barrier through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross.
There you go.
And that salvation is a free gift.
Yep.
And that's pretty amazing, you know. And talking about, you know, with Muslims, I had a long conversation with a Muslim the other day, and it's just so different, you know.
It is different.
And pray that he listened.
There you go. And yeah, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul reaffirms the nutshell: what you have to believe to be saved. Christ died for your sins.
Yep.
He rose from the dead.
That's right.
And that's what we get to.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll tell you, when I'm with my Muslim taxi drivers, often I don't get into the gospel, the whole shamil. But I'll tell them I preach on TV, and then I'll hand them a salvation tract. And I encourage everybody to go to, just Google, I think it's Good News Tracts, and you'll get all these tracts on the internet you can order, or go to a bookstore, but just get a bunch of salvation tracts, put them in your car, and just see what the Lord does.
Yeah.
And then, you know, tell the Muslims, Christians don't believe in three gods. That's we right. believe in one God and That's three right. persons. So, Tom, now with your ministry, you're also starting to do a printing ministry overseas? Well, you're not what we just talked about. You just don't go out and spread the gospel by word. You also print stuff. What are you printing over there?
Yeah, well, we're just right now getting the equipment, but God has provided for us to start a printing operation there. It's so hard to get books into Cameroon.
Okay.
Just because there's a lot of corruption in the ports and it's expensive. Plus, there's not a lot of books that are in good evangelical books in French.
And that's what they speak?
Yeah, Cameroon has got an English side and a French side okay. amongst the 291 other languages.
Oh, my.
And so we are praying that God will help us to get really good books translated into French or written in French. And then also we want to stimulate African authors so that they can write gospel, mm-hmm. solid gospel literature.
So these churches and this seminary... Mm-hmm. Are they aligned to, like, the Baptist denomination, or what are they exactly?
Yeah, well, our goal was to go and to start a church-based seminary. We have a church-based seminary right here in Minneapolis, and my Cameroonian partner came and attended that school and was so affected by having it be right in the context of the local church that was his vision to go back to Cameroon and to start a church-based seminary. But to do that, he needed to have a mother church, and so we planted a church.
Oh, you did?
Yes, and it's just a...
Has it grown?
Yeah, it's just been amazing.
How many come to the seminary?
The seminary, when we're at full-blown, we're not designed to get big. Full-blown will probably be 60 students.
Okay,
and
that's
we're
pretty
in
big.
we're in our second year, or our third year right now, and we've got two cohorts, and so there's 12 students.
How big is the church?
The church is probably up to 150, 160 people.
In Cameroon, mm-hmm. Would you say it's 50% Christian, or at least by name, or not?
Yeah, I should know the percentage, but it's higher than that.
Okay, denominations are strong there?
In the English-speaking side, it would be the Baptists are strong.
Okay.
There's Presbyterians. There's some Lutherans as well, and the French side is predominantly Catholic.
Okay,
and so there's a good
All
mixture.
Right. And you know there are evangelical type Catholics, and there,
yep.
there are not.
Yeah, yep.
Which ones are they?
They
What's
would
your
be,
experience?
They would be less likely to be evangelical.
They
were
traditional.
There's also a lot of Pentecostals. Some and there's a whole spectrum. Some are more evangelical and orthodox, and some have gone the prosperity route, and you don't hear gospel in a lot of those places.
Health and wealth.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Okay. Now, how do people support your ministry? If somebody's watching this and they have a desire to help,
yeah,
maybe we could even put it on the screen. What do they do?
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting for me to have been a pastor at Bethlehem for 40 years and had a secure salary that came in every year, and so now as a missionary, I work with Training Leaders International, and I raise my own support, and by God's grace, the Lord has brought it in.
Okay.
Probably my monthly gifts are like 90%, but there's one-time gifts that come in and really
yeah.
push me over the top.
Okay.
So that's one way.
So if they want information, they can go to trainingleadersinternational.org, or if they have questions about your ministry
Absolutely.
Or just their own life,
yep.
there's a phone number,
888-546-1118. Okay.
Hey, there you go.
Yep.
Anything else you want to share on that?
Yeah. Probably... one of the things that we're doing right now is because the church is growing and the seminary is getting established and this printing ministry, we bought a piece of property.
Okay.
2 years ago, and it turned out to be just in prime place in the capital city.
Oh, good.
And it's tripled in value since then, which is a blessing. Ooh. And God provided money to put a boundary wall around it, and now we're just waiting to fill in the inside with a building.
Wonderful.
And so it's going to be.
So you need support for that.
So we're going to be raising money.
So everybody pray about that. It doesn't have to be Tom, but somebody. Every church should be supporting missionaries.
Yep. Yep.
Because I think God bless. You know, they say that. Yeah, but we need to. Well, yeah, but I think God blesses your church more when you're involved in world missions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tom, what are some Bible verses that have helped you go in this direction with your life?
Boy, there's so many. I mean, you just realize that missions is not an afterthought in the Bible. You used to think it was just the Great Commission, which is a great text. But you just realize that there's a golden thread of God's love for the nations and being glorified amongst all the peoples that goes from Genesis to Revelation. But two texts that really grabbed hold of me. One is in this obscure book, 3 John, right before Revelation, and there's a series of thoughts in 3 John. It's a letter written by the Apostle John to a young man named Gaius, who somehow had helped some missionaries that had come into his area, and those missionaries came back to John's church and testified of Gaius's love, and then John said to them, he wrote a letter to Gaius. He said, I just got to write to this young man. He says, you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God, for they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such ones that we might be fellow workers with the truth. And what I saw in that text back in the late 1980s was it brought together two ideas, both the sending idea and the going idea. And they're united. You go for the sake of the name, and you send in a manner worthy of God. Mm-hmm. And so you just saw the God-centeredness of the missionary enterprise. Mm-hmm. And so I've been a sender most of my Christian life, and now I have
now
the privilege of being to be a goer, training up senders and goers,
Good.
You know, and... So that's one text, and then another text is a classic text, 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul says, be strong, be strengthened by the grace of Jesus Christ, and trust what you've learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust them to faithful men who can teach others also.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
what
so
you're doing
now.
So
it's just this exponential multiplication of passing the gospel on to people who will pass the gospel on.
Yeah.
And train and train and train.
Yep, that's right. Because you and I are going to die, Tom.
Well, it's
yes,
happen.
We are.
I know.
So we got to train up other people to take our place.
Absolutely.
Yep. And you know, I'll tell you too. You and I met our second year or so of college, and you were a wannabe hippie a few years earlier, and I was a Christian, I think, but barely.
Uh-huh.
And I was liberal.
Yeah.
And I would argue, when I was a teenager, I'd argue with my pastor. Well, if you were born in China, you'd be a Buddhist too. And I didn't like the idea of hell. Before I met you in my first year of college, I reread the Bible because some Christians were putting my feet to the fire and saying, look, it's in the book. Mm-hmm. When I came to realize hell is in the Bible a lot, I changed my view to believe there is a heaven and hell. Mm-hmm. You do have to believe in Christ to be saved. Jesus himself said that.
Yeah.
That to this day is what gets me to talk to taxi drivers, that gets me to give my money to foreign missions. Because if you come to see that there's a heaven and a hell, and Jesus is the only way to be saved, isn't that what gets us to missions?
Yeah, that's a huge part, you know.
Yeah.
If we just realize that Jesus is real, he really did come to earth, he really did live a perfect life, he really did die for our sins, he really did rise from the dead, and he really is coming back someday.
Mm-hmm.
And right now he's reigning at the Father's right hand, and there is objective truth, whether we believe it or not, it's true.
It's there.
And
you don't make up your own truth.
Exactly, and we live in a world where everybody makes up their own truth.
Yeah. Are you living your truth, Tom?
That's
I hate that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So if you come to see that. And again, I was a Christian, but pretty liberal and messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But rereading Scripture, coming to believe that that you're lost without Christ and you need to believe in Christ to be saved, that changed everything for me.
Yeah.
And then you and I got to know each other in college, and we shared those beliefs, even though a few years early we were kind of on Mars.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Tom, you know, just everybody, we want to just hope and pray that this show and the next week's show will develop in you a zeal for missions. Mm. And I'm going to have Tom pray for us in a minute. Just pray for you that God will lead you to do whatever you should do to reach the world for Christ. Is there anything we haven't hit that you have a burning desire to talk about? We got about 2 minutes here, Tom.
No, it's just a privilege to be here. I appreciate your inviting me to come on, and I love to talk about missions because it's really talking about God.
Yeah.
And talking about Jesus Christ, we serve a global God, and He is the Lord of the universe, and it's just crucial that every person hears the gospel.
Amen.
And that we pray that God will open their hearts to believe.
Well, why don't we got a couple minutes. Would you pray for our viewers and for the salvation of the world, however you'd like to pray, Tom?
Let's pray together. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank You that You are beautiful beyond description, that we could never have designed a God like You, that You are absolutely unique, You are absolutely holy, and Your Son is the perfect radiance of Your glory, and He really did enter into our mess, and He really did live His life showing us what love is, and dying, the ultimate gift. He just gave the ultimate gift for our salvation. Then You proved it by raising Him from the dead. And Lord, everyone needs to hear. We just know that the last thing He said was, go and make disciples of all the nations. And I just pray, Lord, that we would all take heed to that and not feel that as a burden, not be guilted into it, but just to be so, realize how privileged we are to align ourselves with Your global purpose. And that in all manner of ways You use us to serve that purpose. And so I thank You for every person that's watching. And I just pray, Lord, that You would do a deep work in their hearts, just drawing them closer and closer to You and closer and closer to Your mission to fill this earth with Your glory as the waters cover the sea, and to do what they can do through prayer and through giving and going, whatever they can, to win worshipers from every tribe and tongue and people and nation.
Yes,
and so we worship You, Lord Jesus Christ, in Your precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thanks so much.
You.
And God bless your work. And if you would like to see this show again, go to our website, pastorstudy.org. All of our TV shows are there. And we'll see you next time at the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.